You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January the 11th, 2022, Republican leaders on the House Oversight and Judiciary Committees releasing excerpts of emails they claim reveal that National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease Director Dr. Anthony Fake, I'm sorry I did it again, Dr. Fauci, knew that COVID-19 might have been intentionally modified and leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. This is a letter to Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra, Congressman James Comer, Republican Kentucky, Jim Jordan, Republican Ohio, pointing out to this Feb 1, 2020 conference call that include Fauci and the former National Institutes of Health Director Francis Collins when they were discussing it. The Republican letter saying it was on this conference call that Fauci and Collins were first warned COVID-19 may have leaked and might have been intentionally genetically manipulated. But it's not clear if either Fauci or Collins ever really decided to pass that information along. In the meantime, Joe Biden confident, my team's on the right track. We're dealing with coronavirus. Hospitalizations hitting record levels. We know that. We understand it, but we're doing great. We're going to get even better, and we're doing everything that we can be doing right now. We're doing it. Hospitalizations supposedly are reaching record highs. 145,000 in U.S. hospitals supposedly with COVID-19. But what we're finding out as you look closer at it, yeah, they're in the hospital. They got hurt in a bicycle wreck or something. And then while they're checking them, well, they find out, yeah, you also have COVID. Now, they're not making a distinction anymore between the original COVID-19 and the Delta variant and Omicron. They're just kind of throwing them all together. But now it's being made very clear that a lot of those in the hospital, they might have COVID, but they're not there because of that. In the meantime, your grocery store shelves across America pretty much wiped clean, but Biden says we're taking care of it. Wait till his ice cream supply runs out. Then maybe he'll get something done. This word coming out that Education Secretary Cardona, the Education Secretary Miguel Cardona, solicited a much criticized letter from the National School Boards Association that compared protesting parents to domestic terrorists. Apparently there was an email exchange that indicates Cardona was more involved with creating the letter. So then the DOJ under Biden relied on that letter from the National School Board Association, which suggested using the Patriot Act against parents. Now we know what we suspected anyway. Joe Biden in Georgia said, I'm going to deliver an angry speech showing that the integrity election laws are important. We got to defend them. We got to hold these Republicans off that are trying to change laws that are going to make it tougher for minorities to vote. And his speech is being boycotted by black voting groups in Georgia. They say we don't want to use this as a prop. And in fact, Stacey Abrams, running for governor again in Georgia, is also not going to be seen beside Biden. She doesn't want to be used by prop, and she does not want to be tainted by his failing polling numbers. But when Biden was asked about that, he said, we have a great relationship. I talked to her by phone. We just got our scheduling mixed up. How in the hell would you mix up when the president's coming to your state compared to what else you've got on your schedule? You wouldn't, would you? Of course you're not. Oh, by the way, you should know this. Some Arizona college students threaten to go on a hunger strike, a second one, if Congress doesn't pass the Democrat-led voting legislation by January 17. They're saying this would be a broken democracy. We're going to put an end to it. We want changes to the voting laws that will help illegals and minorities vote more often. And if not, we're not going to eat until you do. Last time they went 15 days and said, let's go to Washington and get some more publicity, and then we can start eating again. They did. Final note, an unusual ground stop issued to some pilots a short time yesterday from NORAD. Alert of a launch of a North Korean missile on the West Coast. They brought all air traffic to a stop. Everything's fine and safe.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, hopefully the plan is that the Supreme Court will recognize that the federal government, the Biden administration, has the authority to require these vaccines. We know they work. They save lives. We've proven it here at HHS with 88,000 workers. Nearly 100% of our workers are vaccinated already.
And if they don't?
It is important. And if they don't, well, I think that will be on their conscience. I think there's some clear authority, legal authority, for us to move forward as we have proposed, both for the private sector workforce and for the healthcare workforce. And we understand that if we don't get people vaccinated and covered this way, people will die. And if you're a healthcare worker, for sure.
People will die. They just will not give up on the scare tactics. That's Health and Human Services Director Xavier Becerra on CNN and NNN. He said, hopefully the court will realize the president does have constitutional authority to make this happen and order everyone to be vaccinated. And companies that have 100 employees or more, you're going to have to make sure they do, or your company will be fined heavily in addition to the employees. And Medicare, Medicaid, you're going to have to do the same thing. They just keep pushing this. I'm looking at an opinion piece written by Jonathan Turley, George Washington University law professor. He is also a legal analyst for Fox News, so I want to keep that in mind for you. He said, during the oral arguments over the Biden vaccine mandates last week, two largely disconnected views emerged from the right and left of the Supreme Court. He said conservative justices hammered away at the underlying authority of the Biden administration to issue the mandates, which is actually what's at stake, my friend. Is it constitutional? It is simple as that. And they did that especially after Joe Biden's own chief of staff admitted that the agency rules were, quote, workarounds of constitutional limitations. In other words, acknowledging, yeah, constitutionally we can't, but let's just kind of do it anyway and kind of push it, and a workaround will make it happen. Turley noted that, conversely, the liberal justices used the word equity aspects of an injunction to raise more emotive, if not apocalyptic, arguments on the dangers of COVID-19. And that's what Becerra was just doing. We know the vaccines work. Well, that's a lie. We know they don't work. And I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I've had my two shots. I haven't gotten the booster yet. I tell you, you do what you need to do for you and your family, period. But how many have we seen be vaccinated? Not once, not just twice, but also the booster. They still get COVID. Of one form or another, probably the Omicron, the most common right now, more flu-like. I talked to a friend today. He's been kind of down for about a week. He said, it's been tired and everything. He said, I'm having a hard time getting a full breath. But I said, well, you do need to go see a doctor and get your lungs checked. He said, well, I haven't had that cigarette for 6 days. I said, I'm not talking about that. I said, overall you do. Your body will repair itself if you give it time. But you can, if you're compromised in any way, it could make you more susceptible to serious illness with whatever COVID you might have. I've talked to others, said I got a little fever, a little cough, I'm done. That's why I say you've got to rely on your own information from people you actually trust. Trust, though, is something that we're not getting at all from this administration, because they keep giving us changing information. Now, I understand, and you should too, as we learn more about something, then, yeah, maybe views and approaches should change. Okay? We can buy that. You can understand that. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. But when you continually change it and redirect it, weaponize it, well, Senator Richard Byrd, Republican North Carolina, speaking during a hearing, said it as simply as it can be stated.
You ask the American people to trust you. Quite frankly, you've lost their trust. Rather than attempting to gain their trust back, the administration chooses to litigate mandate requirements for employers with over 100 employees. I've asked before, what's the plan? Never gotten a response. The communication efforts are a mess and have only made things worse. Now, I admit it. I'm at the end of my rope. I think you'll see today that most of my colleagues are as well. I've tried to give my best advice and share what we hear and what we see, because no one's paying attention to the message from this administration right now.
Absolutely true. Again, those are the words of Senator Richard Burr, Republican of North Carolina. Americans do not trust you. You asked us, you Becerra, Health and Human Services Secretary, all the Biden administration, Dr. Fake, all of them saying, trust us, trust us, trust us. But instead of letting us trust you and see how that goes, as he points out, you want to litigate. You rush into the Supreme Court trying to basically get a approval to jab people even if they don't want it. Let me go back to this article Jonathan Turley was saying a moment ago. And again, this is an attorney. He's also a Fox News analyst from time to time. And he's talking about how Sonia Sotomayor the other day made this most ridiculous statement. He said if she had a Twitter account, they might not have abandoned. That's kind of a good thing in a way, he said. He's talking about the justices, the liberal justices, basically were all worked up because we got to do something now. This is a dire crisis facing the country. Justice Stephen Breyer stated there were, quote, 750 million new cases yesterday, or close to that. And he added, that is a lot. And I don't mean to be facetious. Turley writes, it was not facetious, it was false. Yet Sotomayor's claims the most alarming. Her statement, Those numbers show that Omicron is as deadly and causes as much serious disease in the unvaccinated as Delta did, which it doesn't. She went on to say we have over 100,000 children, which we've never had before, in serious condition and many on ventilators. Later, in an interview on Fox News, CDC Chief Dr. Rochelle Walensky confirmed there were actually fewer than 3,500 kids, 3,500 with the virus in hospitals, not 100,000, not on ventilators. Turley says you can have mistakes, that can happen, but here this is someone in her position that she would make a statement like that. Now, if she had a Twitter account, would it be flagged or banned? Assuming she had one, she said it's hard to say. Obviously, it was false. The Washington Post stated it was absurdly false, but not considered harmful. So supposedly that would be why Twitter would not ban it. But if you were to say, I don't think it's that bad, and you put that on your Twitter account, they might ban it because what you're saying could be harmful for people that need to get the shot. Because, again, I want you to hear again from the Health and Human Services Secretary Becerra, how much is at stake here.
And we understand that if we don't get people vaccinated and covered this way, people will die. And if you're a healthcare worker, for sure. And we understand that if we don't get people vaccinated and covered this way, people will die. And if you're a healthcare worker, for sure. And we understand that if we don't get people vaccinated and covered this way, people will die. And if you're a healthcare worker, for sure.
Yeah, you're right. I repeated it three different times. Just drive the point home because it's a flat-out lie. If we don't get people vaccinated, people will die. You have people vaccinated. People have been dying. You have the vaccinated getting COVID. You have the unvaxxed getting COVID. Now, granted, having the vaccine might lessen the effects for you. And in the next segment coming up, I'm going to get into some of these hospitalization records and what's really behind some of the numbers. They're finally admitting it. They don't want to, but they're going to have to at some point. But also, we got another hearing underway, and Dr. Fake is front and center in a Senate committee and being grilled by various senators, including Senator Rand Paul, Republican, Kentucky. And Fauci had enough, and he said, it's my turn to speak.
The last time we had a committee or the time before, he was accusing me of being responsible for the death of 4 to 5 million people, which is really irresponsible. And I say, why is he doing that? There are two reasons why that's really bad. The first is it distracts from what we're all trying to do here today, is get our arms around the epidemic and the pandemic that we're dealing with, not something imaginary. Number two, what happens when he gets out and accuses me of things that are completely untrue is that all of a sudden that kindles the crazies out there, and I have life that threats upon my life. As some of you may know, just about 3 or 4 weeks ago, on December 21st, a person was arrested who was on their way from Sacramento to Washington, D.C., at a speed stop in Iowa. And the police asked him where he was going, and he was going to Washington, D.C. to kill Dr. Fauci. And they found in his car an AR-15 and multiple magazines of ammunition, because he thinks that maybe I'm killing people.
And why would he think that? Well, Dr. Fake says it's not because of what I'm doing. I'm saving people. Although I told you we got new email confirmation apparently coming out showing there were communications between him and NIH director. They knew that the Wuhan virus was loose. It was probably been weaponized, but it did nothing. But he puts the blame on threats on his life upon the easiest target for him, Senator Rand Paul.
So go to Rand Paul website and you see Fire Dr. Fauci with a little box that says Contribute here. You can do $5, $10, $20, $100. So you are making a catastrophic epidemic for your political gain.
Is that where we say the pot calling the kettle black? Do you think Fauci is not making some political gain from the way he has handled this? He had a picture. He held up a picture of the Rand Paul site with that and said, see, it's right here. I don't know if it's changed. I ain't bothered. I could care less. Every politician does that whenever they can. If they can get some money raised, that's understandable. But Dr. Fake is already the highest paid public employee. The highest paid. He gets more than the president. And if he were to leave today, he would get a lot of money still to come. And I will guarantee you, when he leaves, he will go right into the anchored chair, or at least consultant chair at CNN, at a very high paid amount of money, and he will make money on this whole thing too. Joe Biden said, I'm going to shut down coronavirus when campaigning in 2020. But now hospitalization's up. Is it really COVID? Are we getting some fact, some fiction, mostly BS? Stand by for the numbers.
Leaves are pretty until they start falling into your gutters. You really want to climb up a ladder, clean them out? That sounds like a project, a dangerous project. I have a motto. I don't do projects. You need K-Guard leaf-free gutter system. Get a free estimate. Locally owned, KGuardMidwest.com. KGuardMidwest.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So Joe Biden, the president, is in Georgia. He's going to be delivering a speech. He's going to say, the White House preview of his speech. I don't know how he will actually deliver it, but he's going to portray him as being the force against the domestic threat posed by Republicans in Georgia and elsewhere across the country, because of election law changes or basically getting dead people off the rolls, things like that. Yes, this is the same president who pledged when he was campaigning in 2020, I will shut down the coronavirus. Well, as of today, there are 23,524 COVID patients in ICUs nationwide. I'm sorry, that's as of yesterday. 23,500. And about 1,200 hospitals, just under 25%, reported critical staffing shortage this week. Some of it's because their people are out. Some because they've been told you had to get the shot and the staff does not want to get the shot. And Omicron is continuing to hold up its reputation for spreading quickly, but also being less deadly. But also it's getting harder to identify someone in the hospital as to if it's COVID-related or something else. Under Colorado's crisis standards of care, their emergency crews told to consider not transporting to hospitals anyone under the age of 60 if they're not showing severe symptoms and do not have a high-risk medical history. Don't send them to the hospital. At a university hospital in Newark, New Jersey, 61% of COVID patients did not have coronavirus as primary diagnosis. 61% means they came in for another reason but then tested positive. Los Angeles County Department of Health Services runs four public hospitals, reporting two-thirds of its 150 COVID patients were actually incidental. They just came in for something else. And just last week, The New York governor said 40% of hospitalizations in New York are for patients. They ended up in the hospital. She said, you know, an overdose, a car accident, a heart attack, but then they test positive for coronavirus. They're just now beginning to admit they've been giving us false numbers. We knew they were. We suspected it. And, of course, how are you going to get good and understandable numbers? I want to refer you to an article. This is written almost a year ago, Feb 2021, by a researcher, senior staff writer with AAMC, which is basically a group dedicated to improving health care and also teaching of education of health to doctors and nurses. And it said, how are COVID-19 deaths counted? The answer, it reads simply, it's complicated. They began with an elderly man arriving at Atlanta's Emory Hospital, so stricken with advanced cancer it could take his life within months, but that's not what brought him to the hospital emergency room. He had contracted COVID-19, was struggling to breathe. He was admitted to the ICU. He went in a turn for the worse and died. Question, was his death caused by COVID-19? The doctor says while he was very weak and frail from his underlying cancer, the death undoubtedly accelerated by COVID-19. That doesn't answer anything, does it? It just reaffirms. There is clearly more and more evidence that a lot of the folks out there, and we'll, I don't know if we'll ever get the real numbers, they didn't die of COVID-19. They died with it. And if they had bad problems to begin with, that might have accelerated it. Coming up, Senator Ted Cruz going after the Department of Justice. You don't want to miss it.
Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota has the perfect new or pre-owned car for you, but Jay Ackerman also has a mission to help charities that make a difference. Ackerman Toyota supports food banks, veterans groups, head injury victims, charities battling cancer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
All my friends know the low rider. The low rider is a little higher.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
How many people have been charged with crimes of violence in connection with the events on January 6th?
Senator, I'm not sure exactly how many have been charged with crimes of violence. I know that there are
How many have been charged with nonviolent crimes?
I don't have the numbers of people charged, whether at the state or federal level. I know that
How many people are currently incarcerated concerning the events of January 6th?
I don't know the number of people incarcerated. Again, I know that
Okay, let me ask you that. Look, we have limited time, so I don't want you to filibuster. You either know the answer or you don't. How many people have been placed in solitary confinement concerning the events of January 6th?
I don't have any information about that, Senator.
Your answer to every damn question is, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. You're under oath. You may believe at the Department of Justice that you are unaccountable to the American people, but that is not the case.
It is not the case. That's Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, trying to get some kind of answers out of a Department of Justice official regarding January 6th. If it was such a big deal, would you not have those numbers right in front of you when you go to testify before a Senate committee? Do you not prepare? What, the dog ate your homework? That what you say? No, you just I don't remember. I don't recall. I don't know. Because, see, you can't be hit with perjury if you don't make a false statement. Now, saying I don't remember could probably be lying, most likely are, and you know the numbers, but you don't want to say them. And even if they, even if you saw the numbers 2 minutes before you walked in there, you could still claim that, I don't know. Ted Cruz, like many of us, want to know the January 6th event. We admit was wrong. It's not patriotic, but it's been weaponized by the leftists. As I told you the day it happened, they will use it as long as they can. It will be the new race card. Because down the street from the Capitol that day, Donald Trump was holding his own rally. That was the day, of course, that the Congress was coming together to certify the election results. And Trump was still saying, I don't think I lost. I think it's wrong. And a lot of people had a lot of questions, and we still do. I don't know for sure it was exactly the way it was reported. Were there enough numbers that would have changed it? I don't know, and I don't make that claim. What I basically say is move on. Focus on 2022. Win the House. Get the Republicans to win the House. Democrats at this time only have 4, maybe 5-point majority. And they got at least 20 to 25 Democrats who've already said not going to run again. They know the record they got to run on is the Biden administration, and it is deadly. It is so deadly to their political career, if they really want to keep one, that Stacey Abrams in the state of Georgia, while the president is in her state talking about election reform, which she says is needed because she should have been elected governor of Georgia. But she got cheated out of it. She can claim that it was a conspiracy against her, and the left and the state-controlled media don't just buy into it. They sell it over and over again. But you are not allowed to question. So all these folks gathered for that rally, the Trump rally, that day, January 6th. And he told them, said, I know some of you are going down the Capitol using your First Amendment right to free speech, making your voices heard. He did not tell them to go and battle police. He did not tell them to break their way in. He did not tell them to defecate in the hallway, as some have claimed happened. He did not tell them to vandalize Nancy Pelosi's office or any others or take anything from the Capitol. He didn't say anything. And you know why I can say that so clearly? Because if he had said anything along the line I just discussed, it would be thrown in your face each and every day. Each and every day. Because they could say, see, here's a proof. And the bigger problem, of course, many of us have, is that while we do not endorse and accept what happened on January 6th, it was wrong. It was not a patriotic event to do it in that fashion. Not everyone that was inside the Capitol was involved in any kind of violence or, quote, insurrection. And I'll add again, no one has been charged with insurrection. But there are many who simply came with a second, maybe third wave of people that saw, oh, the Capitol doors open. They went on it. They didn't know what had preceded, what had happened before they got there. They just went on inside. The doors were open, nobody keeping them out, and they were caught on video. And the Department of Justice under Biden and Attorney General Merrick Garland said, and along, of course, with Pelosi and Schumer and all the rest of that lynching mob, find everyone who came in that day, get their picture identified, track them down, bring them in front of us for justice. They had a lot of cameras there. And then, of course, they accessed cell phone video from various people. But when Senator Cruz is asking these questions, just tell me how many actually were involved in assaulting? How many caused vandalism? How many did more than simply walk in and look around? I don't know. I don't know how many times, and you probably went through the same thing in school. I'd study for a test. Yeah, I did. Come on. I studied some for some test, depending. And there'd be a question. I thought, where did that come? Was I sick that day? What happened? Was I just not paying attention while watching all the cars go by and thinking, what do all the adults do when we're locked up in here? What are they doing out there every day? Now I know. Not much either. But the bottom line is, I didn't have the answer. But if the Department of Justice, and they've been asking for these numbers for months, in written form and again in oral form, as again with Senator Cruz you just heard, and they still say, I don't know. Well, then here's the other issue we have a concern with, and Senator Cruz lays it right at the feet of the Department of Justice, the FBI, and Biden.
During 2020, Black Lives Matter and Antifa riots all across the country, there were over 700 police officers injured by Black Lives Matter and Antifa riots. How many people have been charged with crimes of violence concerning those riots all across the country?
I don't have information on how many. I would say, you know, hundreds of people have been charged. As Ms.
You would say, but you don't know. We asked you, why is it that you won't target the rioters and terrorists who firebomb cities across this country? The answer we got from the Department of Justice was shameful. On October 22nd, you came back and said, quote, the department has dedicated investigative and prosecutorial resources commensurate with the significance of these events. By significance, I guess it means the political benefit to the Biden White House. And I will tell you, there are a great many Americans who are understandably deeply concerned about the politicization of the Department of Justice under President Joe Biden.
And they're going to be more concerned with information that just came out today. I'm going to get into that in the next segment. But before we break, the point Senator Cruz is making is what I don't know. I couldn't even begin to count. I could honestly tell you I don't know how many have made similar remarks to me that why aren't they going after everybody that was burning buildings down and trying to torch a federal building in Portland, a courthouse, and assaulting federal agents and police? And I don't mean just throwing words at them, but throwing Molotov cocktails, bottles filled with urine or acid, or using lasers to hit them in the eyes to blind them. And there's video of all of those, too. There's video everywhere and cell phone video. And if they did pick up any, they got out with either no bail or low bail. And in many cases, Democrats such as VP Harris contributed money so they could be bailed out of jail. Weaponizing our government against its people. So this next story, you don't want to miss.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You could not have missed the fact that many school board meetings have had more parents attending lately. They want to know what their kids are being taught when they're actually in school. And, oh, by the way, Chicago teachers, despite calling Mayor Lori Lightfoot basically stupid, they agreed to go back to work. But parents are showing up because they're worried about CRT, critical race theory teaching, which is trying to teach their kids to hate America and hate people of a different color. And if you're white, to feel guilty about yourself. And they're also showing up because they're tired of their children having to wear a mask on a continuous basis while they're in school, when the kids are not at a risk. So we have many of them coming together in different groups. One is Parents Defending Education. Parents Defending Education had a Freedom of Information Act request. They wanted to know who was pushing a letter to label parents at these school board meetings as terrorists. Remember A.G. Garland, Merrick Garland, again in front of a committee? My letter to the FBI and the DOJ didn't call them terrorists, but he did in his own little buttercup way of saying you need to deal with these threats to educators. Well, here's what this Freedom of Information Act has now uncovered. According to emails, U.S. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona asked the leaders of the National School Boards Association to write that letter demanding the Biden administration use domestic terrorist laws to target parents who were concerned about their children being indoctrinated while they're in school. The U.S. Education Secretary asked the National School Board Association to write the letter so we'll have reason to move forward. One of those representing the parents defending education said, if this is true, Cardona must be held accountable. It would mean a grave breach of public trust, a clear threat to parents' rights everywhere. Attorney General Merrick Garland repeatedly stated that he based his memo, which mobilized the FBI and U.S. attorneys, on the NSBA letter. And this alleged coordination between Secretary Cardona and the Department of Justice is deeply concerning. This is just the latest of such a revelation. There have been some previous emails also obtained that indicated that the president of the National School Board Group colluded with the Biden White House to get federal law enforcement involved. But it's unclear who actually requested the letter. But again, Merrick Garland used that letter to justify sending a note to the Department of Justice and other federal agencies to deal with these parents. The chronology is basically this. Parents show up at the school boards, they're upset because they have found out that their kids are being taught critical race theory indoctrination. Indoctrination, not education. It's not trying to educate them about the history of slavery. It's trying to make them feel guilty, even if obviously they had nothing to do with it. And when parents are trying to show up what is on the curriculum and they're not being allowed to see it, then they really get upset, and they're already upset because their kids were denied going to school for a year because they were remote learning. They know the harm that caused to their kids. Now they're worried, of course, about indoctrination. They go to the school boards, complain, make noise, get rowdy a couple of times. Some arrests are made because they won't stop talking. Or they won't leave when they're told to leave, and the board meeting says it's gavels to an adjournment, they won't leave. And for that, the education secretary, if this is true, initiates a letter to the National School Board Association asking them to write a letter back to him and to the White House saying you need to check these people as possible domestic terrorists. In fact, former Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe accused moms and dads of engaging in, quote, political violence at school board meetings. Political violence. McCabe claimed just last week, it's going on at school boards around the country. It's going on in local elections. It's happening. Even to healthcare workers. Stand your ground. Protect your kids. Demand an accounting. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.